Our war veterans spent years helping people from other countries at times of natural disasters of war. We see it all the time. But this week, many of them will travel to the mid-north coast of New South Wales for something called Operation Elliot. It's a flood recovery mission by the not-for-profit group Disaster Relief Australia. And its aim is to help rebuild the area after the floods. At least 75 homes have been lost in last month's extreme weather events. Davina Pye is a veteran and a firefighter with Fire Rescue New South Wales, and she's mission commander for Wave 1 of Operation Elliot. Davina Pye, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran. It's great to be here.
It sounds like we're wargaming here. What is Operation Elliot and how many veterans are involved?
Operation Elliot is a flood recovery mission for the mid-north coast and Port Macquarie Hastings area that was heavily affected during the floods on the between the 19th and the 25th of March. Mm-hmm. We've got currently got 20 veterans on the ground.
Okay, and Disaster Relief Australia is organising this. What is that? What is your group?
Well, Disaster Relief Australia is a It unites military veterans, first responders and like-minded civilians who want to help people out in emergency situations. We've been together for 4 to 5 years, formerly known as Team Rubicon Australia. Mm-hmm. We rebranded to Disaster Relief Australia. And we've been to many disaster sites around Australia, currently in the Perth Hills on Operation Woods doing fire recovery, and now here in the Camden Haven region doing flood recovery.
And is it a volunteer operation, or are the veterans and the former veterans and the former first responders, are they paid to do this work?
No, it's all volunteer.
All right.
We have retirees, people that are still currently working that take leave. They just have such a passion for this type of work and doing something for the community that they take the time off.
And tell me about that, the passion from... Let's talk about the veterans first, because a lot of vets come home and it's hard for them, we know, because we've talked to quite a few here on Breakfast and we know there's people who, you know, they find it hard to settle in. They find it hard to, either because of what they've experienced over there or because of the changing situation they find themselves in, really. Why is it important for them?
It gives them connection, not only to the other veterans that they're working with, but to the communities that they're participating in the recovery for, and it shows that, well, they care, and what they were able to do overseas for another country, they can now do at home.
And is that significant to them, to be able to use the skills that they've been trained for and they've, as you say, helped in perhaps, I don't know, the Solomons or somewhere like that, to be able to come home and help in their own backyard?
Absolutely. I can only speak for myself, but that feeling of being able to help somebody on their worst day, mm-hmm, and make it just that little bit better is amazing.
What is your experience, Davina? Where did you serve?
I was a medic with the Australian Army for 11 years. Mm-hmm. I deployed to Papua New Guinea for a tidal wave relief in 98, mm-hmm, East Timor in 99, and Bougainville in 2002.
Timor in 99 as part of the Interfet operation?
That's correct.
Right, okay. And in those places, as a medic, you helped people on the ground who were recovering from difficult situations?
Absolutely, especially in Papua New Guinea after the tidal wave at Tape, Sasano Lagoon. We were treating people for 2 weeks. We were the first surgical response, and we were in the first 24 hours, they did something like 16 amputations from, mm-hmm, the wounds that they received during the tidal wave.
When you come home, when you finish your service and you're not an army medic anymore, is it hard to figure out how to fit back into a community and do a regular job? And is that, how does the work you're doing here with Disaster Relief Australia sort of help with that?
Absolutely. For me personally, it was also just being part of the military for 11 years. It's very different to anything that you would do in Savine Street. You talk a certain way, you act a certain way, and to turn that off, it takes a long time to be able to do that, and you probably never do. And after doing deployments overseas, you're at a bit of a loss. You no longer have that... that importance of job role. So, mm-hmm, to be able to do that sort of thing again here in Australia, it really makes you feel connected again.
You've put your hand up too. I think you're a firefighter. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, for 14 years now.
Yeah, okay. So you this is a big, important part of you to be giving to the community. How's the community in Port Macquarie responding to you and others being on the ground there with Operation Elliot?
Oh, look, wonderfully. They've been so supportive. From the residents that have been affected through to the councils that are trying to help. We've been invited by the mayor as soon as we got here to bring a team in. The community has been reaching out and either telling us their stories and asking for help or passing on the neighbours' names that they know that they need help as well. So it's been a wonderful welcome.
And what is the effort required on the ground? What are the you said there's 20 former veterans. How many others, how many first responders and other volunteers are there on the ground as part of this operation?
Well, it's a mixture of that 20 people. There's veterans and veterans that are now first responders. There's first responders that are reservists. So that sort of encompasses everyone within
right.
our team.
Okay, so there's 20 of you on the ground?
Yeah, 20 of us on the ground. And we're getting out and we're doing mucking out houses. Most of the mud and all that sort of stuff has gone already. But the furniture and the walls that need to be pulled down and sprayed with anti-mold, the communicating with the residents and just allowing them to tell their story and feel that they've been recognised and understood that they're there still. There are people that either don't have the means of reaching out through not having mobile phone communications or don't have vehicles to be able to get into the recovery centres. And they're the type of people that we're going to be picking up on
Tell me about those people who are stuck on properties, who might not have sat phones, who are isolated. How are you finding out about them and what are you doing for them?
We're finding out through word of mouth. We're finding out through their neighbours that haven't seen them and the getting passed on through the recovery centres and their hotlines, and then they feed the information to us. We then go out and do a damage assessment. And we look at it and make a decision whether it's in within our scope of practice, because we can't do everything. The landslips and bridges washed out are out of our
Your capacity.
Scope of work.
Yeah.
But we do have a very skilled workforce that can come in and help clear fences, pull out furniture, cut down tree, or not so much cut down trees, but cut up trees that are over fence lines, that sort of thing.
And so, Davina, some of the people there you're working with there in the operation will have issues of their own, and yet they're hearing pretty traumatic stories from community members, I imagine. People are pretty distressed there. You have this moment at the end of the day called Reflections. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, Reflections gives the team the opportunity to share what they saw today, in what way it affected them, or what way that they either saw a positive or a negative. A safety situation that they saw was managed well or wasn't managed well. It's just a really good debrief to hear other people's stories and how they saw it, and know that it's okay to share that story and to participate in a reflection that could help each other move through the day's activities.
And that's an interesting strategy. It's an interesting sort of mechanism to use. Where did that come from, that idea of this end of day debrief called Reflections?
The actual story of it, or how it came about, I'm not sure, but it is a part of most debriefs. I know we do it in the Fire Rescue New South Wales. We call it a casual or a debrief at the end of a job, a difficult job that you've seen, and just to be able to feel that you can talk to each other about it and, you know, what you saw and what you did well or what you did poorly, what you could do better next time. It is used in a lot of environments to help people.
Used and useful by the sounds of it. Davina, thanks very much for joining us. Good luck to you and the whole team there of Operation Elliot for the cleanup, and, of course, the people of Port Macquarie who need all the help they can get, I imagine. Thank you.
Thank you, Fran. Can I give a little yell out to our webpage for people to reach out for help or
Absolutely.
If you want to volunteer?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, great. It's search for Disaster Relief Australia on Google, and it's one of the first things that come up. Or go to disasterreliefaus.org/NSW floods. And we also have a phone number on 02-9158-9382.
Hang on, 9158...
9382.
And is that website, is it Disaster Relief or is it dra.oz.org?
It's Disaster Relief Australia. The website is disasterreliefaus.org/New South Wales okay. floods.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Davina Pye, veteran and firefighter with Fire Rescue New South Wales, and she's commander mission for Wave 1 of Operation Elliot, which is hitting the ground there in Port Macquarie. So if you are up and around the region, you've been affected by the floods and you need help and you don't quite know who to reach out to, then you can ring this number 02-9158-9382 or go to disasterreliefaus.org/Australia/New South Wales, I think. I think I've got that right. Anyway, we'll put it on our webpage.